Good morning, 1220 listeners. This is Caroline from the City Mission, bringing you Faith in Crisis. The City Mission is producing Faith in Crisis in order to share about urgent needs and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need around the greater Cleveland area. Usually, we share an interview we've conducted with one of our staff members about some of their areas of expertise, but today we thought it'd be important for you to hear directly from our clients. Throughout the year, we have the incredible opportunity to hear their testimonies, people from all stages of life, people coming from all different types of demographics and backgrounds, arrive at the City Mission, and each of them has their own unique story to tell. It's truly a privilege of mine to be able to conduct some of these interviews, and I can't wait to share some of them with you today. We don't often get the chance to share stories at length like this, and especially not in people's own words. So I hope you enjoy hearing from Donald, who will share his story first. Donald was in prison for half of his life before he came to the City Mission. Misled and abandoned by his family at a very young age, Donald learned that the only way to survive was through crime. But thankfully, he landed at the City Mission after his last release and is learning how to restore his life through his art and his relationship with the Lord. Take a listen.
I had an older brother that I hero worshiped, and I was at a presentable age, and he led me down a path that, you know, I went to prison for 23 years, four times. But you put all of it together, the county jail time and the juvenile time, I got 25 years in the system. And from being in there for so long, I was institutionalized, you know, and in there, I learned how to live like an animal, you know. So when I came out this time, I was having trouble readjusting back into society. I was running to bars and fighting. And I had my own place and a job where I'm working now. But like I said, I was having problems readjusting. Coming here, this place here, gave me a chance to start taking a look at myself. And they gave me a lot of answers to a lot of the questions I had. And then I started learning how to live like a human being again. And coming here, it's been a blessing. It's actually turned my life around. I'm glad I did it. I used to lay in my cell and picture in my head the way I wanted my life to look. And it's starting to look like that. My goals is, I'm a pretty good artist. You know, I'm a sculptor. I want to go to school because that's what I want to do for a living. It was God that kept me here. Because every time I would try, I always cried out, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. You know, I read my Bible every day. I've read through it. I'm going almost finishing up on it for the 14th time. And even though I read it and stuff like that, I still would backslide and go back out. And but now I'm starting to learn to just be still. And in that stillness, you know, I've learned that that's when God talks to you. Yeah, that's when I realized God wanted me to be here. Just learn to be still. You know, stop, set the weight down. You know, when I came across that parking lot, it's like I was dragging a 35-pound dumbbell. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've ever lifted one of them, then you know how heavy they are. When I got here, I just got to where I said, I'm not going to worry about anything. I seen what these people were offering, and I went ahead and just took what they had offered. And after a couple months, I started seeing the fruits of it. The thing that really impressed me the most is where they made me feel like they cared about me. Before the City Mission, I was confused. Because of the City Mission, I am hopeful.
Like many of our guests who had spent decades in prison, figuring out how to live in the 21st century is not only a real challenge, but a barrier to finding a stable life, and makes it much more likely that someone will reoffend. That's why we prioritize giving people the time they need to build healthy relationships and new skills that will help them to obtain adequate jobs and housing without reoffending. For some people, a life of crime is all they've ever known, and that's true for Jessica, our next voice. Jessica is a young woman who grew up with parents who were addicts and ended up following in their footsteps. Listen as she shares how Laura's home helped her not only stay clean and sober, but also helped her regain custody of her children and plan for a better future for their entire family.
I have a huge heart. I'm caring, really dedicated, determined. So I went to rehab in December. A counselor there told me about this place, and she knew Brent Richards and stuff. So I came The day I got released from there, I came straight here. Just basically because I could have went, I have family and stuff, but like they're on drugs. That's my struggle. You know, that's my story. And so I just wanted to be in a different environment. I don't want to be around that, you know? So my counselor told me about this place. So I came here alone. It was basically like going to church and praying for like, help me be able to still make it even after I lose my son, because I, you know, that's what I was fighting for. And I just knew I was going to lose him. It literally happened in one day. It was like a miracle. They came here, did an interview and like looked around and they brought him here that same day. Oh, like I didn't even know I was getting him back. It really felt like not real. Truthfully, it was just like, you know, like every, like for a whole week after that, I feel like I woke up every day, like, is he really in here? Mm-hmm. Like it was a lot. It was just overwhelming. So many emotions. I mean, I was happy, but scared, you know. I wasn't prepared in any way. I mean, thank God for this place, because I didn't have clothes for him. I didn't have not one thing. And they gave me everything that he needed. When I was in rehab, I had started, you know, to kind of listen to the people that would come in or go to church. It's definitely, being here is definitely making me open my eyes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And like changing, you know, I found a church and I go there every Sunday. I got baptized. I want to raise him the right way. I want him to grow up happy. I want him to grow up loved. I want him to, you know, I don't want him to ever experience the life that I've lived. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just want to be able to give him opportunities. I want him to be able to find himself and not just be thrown into a bad situation and forced to be mm-hmm. something, you know, because that's what happened to me, and it's horrible. I mean, I just hope that I can, you know, get a foundation here. I hope. So I'm just hoping being here that I can learn the skills that I need, you know, like so I can make it. I just want to be a productive, normal person. You yeah. know, I don't want to be in the streets. I don't want to be doing drugs. I don't want to, like, I just want to get a real job. Mm-hmm. I want to go to school. Mm-hmm. I just want to live a normal life, because I've never, even as a kid, it was just chaos. And, you know, I just want to be normal, whatever yeah. that may be. My caseworker, Tammy's amazing. She fights for us. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, I mean, she didn't even know me. She didn't know my story, not anything. And when everything happened with Justice, like, she fought for me. She, mm-hmm. you know, like, told them, like, please, like, don't take that baby from her, you know. Like, yeah. please just let him, like, I promise, like, just give her a chance while she's here. Yeah. So Tammy's been awesome. She's done nothing but help me. I feel like I found my purpose, you know. I feel like I have a purpose. I have a chance now, like being here. Yeah. This place has done a lot for me. I'm not sure where I would be or what I would be doing if I wasn't here. You know, maybe I wouldn't even be alive.
Unfortunately, Jessica's sentiment that she wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the City Mission is something we hear often. Brian, our next interview, also thought this way. Before coming to the City Mission, he contemplated suicide. But by the grace of God, today he has a solid job and a place to live. He's also one of the funniest, upbeat people you'll ever meet, and his story is nothing but positive from here on out.
I was originally born in Chicago, and I do have kind of like a hard work ethic once given the chance. I'm a loyal worker, and I like to make people laugh. I'm a bit of an entertainer. Without the mission, somebody asked this in chapel. Where would you be if there was no City Mission? To be honest, I wouldn't make it, because mm-hmm. at the time I was feeling it at that time when I got here. And I was living with my cousin for a while, you know, I lived a year with this person, and it didn't last long. Mm-hmm. So due to the stress and the anger and all. And then when he kicked me out, I walked all the way from 140th. The shoes I had on at the time, they had like a, you can see my foot. You can see my foot. And when I came to the mission, when I was admitted to the mission, first I went through the security. They checked me out. And, you know, they told me everything about the mission with Reggie. And it started from there. And I met a lot of people and went to the classes and graduated and, mm-hmm. and all that. And, you know, like there were certain classes that I thought I didn't need. Like anger management, for one. I never thought I needed it, but, you know, it came in handy. I mean, there were some situations that would get me mad, but there are some things that's in my past that still, you know, get me a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had to let it go, you know, cut those ties. And, you know, thanks to the mission, I was able to do that. You know, I'm thankful that I have a job. I mean, it's been over like 6 years since I've had a job, thanks to the mission and a program called El Barrio. Yeah, when I got, Amazon surprised me, actually. So, you know, when I got accepted by them, I was shocked. I'm responsible for, like, the mail, whether it's collecting the mail and putting it in the aisle, or scanning the packages, putting them in certain bags, they can be picked up later for delivery. We all have a route to do, like putting stuff in the trucks or leaving it on the side. I'm not going to go the easy road.
Yeah.
You know, everything I've ever gotten in my life, I earned. I love being accepted. I love that. You know, that camaraderie. The confidence, what I lost, what I thought I lost, was found again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thanks to the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be anger management, DBT, Touch of Reality, which was one of my favorites. Before the mission, I was a nervous wreck. I was depressed. I was full of anger. I was full of hate. I will say this. The mission, I've seen a lot of miracles in my time.
Mm-hmm.
People coming, you know, from stopping drinking, you know, trying to get back to their relationships, trying to get back with their family, or trying to start a new life. Like me, I'm starting a new life. I'm trying to find myself again. It feels good to belong once you're working or finding your place.
When most of us are at our wit's end, we can turn to family or friends for help. And that's what Brian tried to do. But when he did, he was met with no response or little support. And that's true for Miss Arnetta as well. Miss Arnetta is in her 70s, but you would never guess it from how active she is.
I'm a quiet person. I kind of stay to myself. I enjoy meeting friends. Kind of active sometimes because I like to skate. Both of them, roller skate and ice skate. And I enjoy driving. I love it. Working on the internet, I love that too, learning. I was going for my GED. And I just enjoy that.
Yeah.
Sewing and making things.
Miss Arnetta even has a job that helps her pay some of her bills. But when the rates went up on her last rental unit, she wasn't able to afford them and was forced to move in with family. But their patience grew thin as well, and eventually she had to leave. Thankfully, Laura's home quickly had a spot open for her, and she was able to find the rest and time she needed to recover her finances. She found there were some other fringe benefits as well.
Before, I was a nervous wreck, scared out of my wits. What's going to happen?
Okay.
I called them.
Yeah.
And they told me I had to call every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I call one time, and then I let 2 weeks went by, and I call one Sunday, you know. They called me back. And I was shocked. And I was excited. It's nice. It's really nice. It's Touch of Reality, getting in touch with yourself, and DBT is like how you relate to other people in the workforce, as well as here and outside relationship, and how you deal with it. I'm learning a new thing.
Yeah.
The class is very nice. I met some nice ladies here.
Yeah.
Because when I lived in Parma, I was kind of lonely. So when I come here, I some nice friends, laughing and talking and giggling, and I have fun with them.
Good.
You know, we go places together, do things together.
Mm-hmm.
So I gain.
Yeah.
So a good friendship is a gift from God. It's a gift. They've been a blessing to us, really a blessing. And the clothes is nice.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, and it cheers me up. It's a nice place. It's clean. It's quiet. And another positive note, we got air conditioned. Yes. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice place,
yeah.
You know. And I'm glad I picked it.
You can hear in Arnetta's words that she's not just thankful for the basic things, food, shelter, clothing, even air conditioning. She's grateful for the relationship she's building here. She's even restoring her credit with help from our resource center, something she never would have had the opportunity to do outside of Laura's home. And hopefully, she'll be able to soon find a place of her own, one that's stable in rent and relationships. Our next story is from a woman named Mona. Mona came to us about a year ago, having been caught in not just one, but two consecutive domestic violence relationships. Women and even men who have been stuck in these types of relationships can feel angry, and that's what Mona was when she came to us. She had years of mental, physical, and financial abuse behind her, and she wasn't sure what else to do. Thankfully, she found Christ at Laura's home, and the joy that she has now is undeniable. Listen as she tells her story in her own words about moving from brokenness to rest to saved.
And I left a situation in a relationship that turned out to end up being physical. And when I had got here, it's crazy as it seems, you know, I had a living arrangement and that arrangement became physical. So I had to deal with those two issues. And what I did was I called the number lines for places that would be more secure and secluded, but they were all full. So I was referred here. And so I came. I didn't really know the extent of this program when I called. I just knew my situation and I had to remove myself. So when I got here, I mean, they went over the basics of the program, but you really don't know about it until you're actually in it. And I just said, yes, fine. You know, and then plus it gave me a longer time, you know, as well as to get myself situated versus if I wouldn't have took the program. And I see now that I'm glad I chose the program, you know, because that time had went by so fast, you know, but I have gained a lot from the program, not expecting and knowing it, you know. And at first I was kind of really, I was already dealing with stuff before I got here. So that whole situation, I was dealing with a lot of things. And by me doing the program, I mean, not only did it shed light on that situation, because I had issues too, you know, regardless of that situation, it just shed light on a lot of the issues that I had, you know, past issues, prior issues, childhood issues, spiritual issues, you know, emotional, mental issues. So everything just kind of like unfolded all at one time for me. And the opportunity, even though the situation that caused me to be here, you know, the whole opportunity that has arrived out of, you know, that has occurred out of this, it's just a good opportunity for me to just really get myself on track, regardless of the issues I was dealing with that relationship and the physical aspects. It's giving me an opportunity to just really get myself together as a person, you know, just as an individual. Well, when I first came in, I can describe myself as, you know, my spirits was real low. I was kind of angry. I don't really know who I was angry at. I think I was angry at myself. I was angry at the other person that was in my life. I was angry at the person that I rented the room from when I got here, because it's like, you know, they sending me through changes that I didn't have to go through, and I'm already leaving, you know, that situation. It was a fraud. It was fake, that whole, you know, me renting that room, and it turned into something different. So I was mad about that. You know, I was the whole church thing, and not that I was mad at church. It was just that I'm like, okay, you got to go to church, you know, Monday, you know, through Friday. True enough. But then I was thinking to myself, well, you know, because I'm thinking I got to get myself together. You know, I got to get a job. I got to find a place to live. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm here going to church. But then after a while, it dawned on me like, duh. The things that was being taught and was being brought to me in chapel, that's what brung up the red flags, and I had to start looking at me, you know, and looking inside of me and addressing those issues. So it took a whole different turn. And so I'm not angry anymore. You know, I'm not really hurt anymore. I was hurt. I had past pains, and like the Touch of Reality class went to some deeper things and brought up some things, but I was able to hash those out within myself now and realize where some of my attitude came from, some of my anger, some of my pain, some of my frustration, some of my worries. I was able to pinpoint where some of that stuff was coming from. And it's like now I have that energy level, my mindset. I want to get up and go to church, because I want to hear what else I need to hear in the word. So I mean, I just feel I got more energy now. I'm happier now. I got a little more peace. I'm getting a better understanding of myself. I'm getting a better understanding of the word. I'm building and trying to actually really build a spiritual relationship. I'm reading the Bible.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to explain, but it's just different now. I mean, I'm learning the meaning of, you know, servant, you know, being a servant or a steward, you know, through the training with Mr. Dale. I'm learning, you know, I've learned how to just look at it differently with people and yeah. communicating with others and interacting with others. I'm learning to check my attitude. I'm learning to check my tone. I'm learning to check my conduct. I'm learning to, you know, not to react in situations like I used to. I'm learning to think before I speak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm learning to pray. I'm learning to realize, you know, it's more out here than, you know, just having to be out here work. Mm-hmm. You need a foundation. You need stability.
Yeah.
You need something that to hold on to. And that's where that spiritual aspect come in. So now I'm just in a totally different headspace and I'm just ready to just step out and stay strong and continue what I'm doing. You know, it prompted me to put the cigarettes down. I haven't been smoking. I mean, it's just, I just feel just better, you know, more at peace. And I'm like, feel like I'm really becoming a part of something better,
yeah.
you know, something greater than yeah. as I am. And even though, you know, yeah, they tell you, you know, when you're being spiritual to help people and things like that, that's true, but still you got to work them kinks out so that you can, you know, be encouraging to others and be there for other people and him be able to work with you, and you got to be put your heart in it so that he can, and he'll slowly take that stuff off of you and
yeah.
it'll go away, and you'll slowly just, you know, you'll be kinder, you'll be nicer, you'll want to be nice
yeah.
to people, you'll want to love, and you'll do it. Well, I'm building a relationship definitely with Mr. Dale because we're working together every day.
Yeah.
And he's teaching me things. And I'm building as far as being able to interact on that level as far as being teachable
yeah.
Also helping someone,
yeah.
Being available to help.
Mm-hmm.
But these still are skills that I can have when I leave here. To be honest, everything for me, everything has been. I mean, we always think we know everything, and we done been through this.
Sure.
But everything has been a total turning point in beginning with chapel every morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning. And because I was tired, too. I had to also realize, you know, I was tired mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I was drained when I got here. And so I had to, like, reboot. And when I first got here, I would fall asleep in chapel at first. You know, I would yeah. fall asleep at chapel,
uh-huh.
but not no more. Because it's different now. It's just I've been rejuvenated a little bit. I've been revised. So now I come to chapel with my notebook and my papers and my Bible because I want to get what I need to get out of it.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning. That the Touch of Reality class. It really broke down some barriers. That was the start. That was the eye opener. Because of course you go back and you think about the old things. Then in Touch of Reality is when they start bringing in the addictions and not just drugs, you know. And when I had to dig deep and looking in, and I realized, yeah, they doing some real stuff.
Yeah.
And that was it. I've just been like all in ever since. And I was looking forward to the classes and, you know, what needed to be brought to me. It's just good. But you have, your mindset has to be there, you know, and if your mindset is not there, then you're not going to take advantage of that opportunity. You're not even going to see it as an advantage. You're not going to see it as an opportunity. If you got your mind clouded up with other things, you got to let all that stuff go and just go with the flow in order to really gain what you need. And that's what I had to do. Like, just leave everything else out of it. Forget about all that and just focus on what's being brought to me, and then how can I start bringing that stuff
yeah,
in and
sure.
use those tools to deal with those things
mm-hmm.
and find a better avenue. So, you know, like Miss Michelle said, you know, what's the need in you, you know, having a job and this and that, but
yeah.
you got deeper things inside of you that you need to fix, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't keep the job, what's the use in getting a job? Because you might have other issues that's going to lead into you not keeping the job. So I don't care what issues it is. If you really want to change those issues and you really want to deal, you know, with your situation, and a program like this is offered, I would tell them to take that program because it's going to open up doors and enlighten you on a deeper level than just your current situation, because your current situation is not going to always be that way, you know. But at the same time, you might think, oh, well, I just need to get me another job. That's not necessarily true. You might think, well, I mean, I just need to get me another house. I got a job. I just need to get me a house. I couldn't afford to pay. That's not it. You know, you can broaden your perspective on your life as a whole, you know, if you would just give in and be open to what they're willing to offer. And it can just give you a whole different, you know, aspect on life.
Mona hits on two points here that we're constantly attempting to communicate to the community. The first being that every shelter in Cleveland is full. Laura's home is full as well, and has been with a waiting list since 2012. This means that our city is in a crisis, and that women and children that have nowhere to turn are left to fend for themselves. The second point, and it's one we hear often, is that people don't know that Laura's home and Crossroads are full program shelters. We don't just provide for basic food and housing on a temporary situation. We spend months preparing people for new lives and empowering them with tools and resources so that as they graduate, they can go out and live self-sustainable lives. And all of you who donate and volunteer with us are a part of that. None of these testimonies would be possible without your support. So from all of our clients and staff, thank you. If you want to learn more about the City Mission or ways to get involved in our work, you can visit www.thecitymission.org. And listen again next week as we share about one of our most exciting programs, the New Horizons Housing Collaborative. We'll interview Ashley Field, our Community Development Coordinator, and let you know about how this program is completely transforming entire families, neighborhoods, and eventually, communities. That's next Thursday at 10:30 a.m. God bless and have a great weekend.